school and language school and the Baptist church, because it seems like that was a very important part of your childhood. First, did you start going to the church regularly on Sundays with your mother?
Yes.
Oh.
during the we went to because we were told to go to Sunday school, so that's what we did every Sunday. Mm. So that was expected of us mm-hmm. to do that. Now, in the island, naturally, there's a lot of Buddhists mm-hmm. and so forth. So the Buddhist people had their own school, and the same thing in the Japanese school. See, we were forced to go to Japanese school to learn our native language, mm-hmm. which I detested. But during the growing years, went all the way in the Japanese till I came to high school. And when I went to high school, I was on the football team, and I couldn't go to Japanese school, which I didn't mind at all.
Now, did you go was it every day?
Every day after school.
Oh, for how long?
I guess about an hour and a half.
And why didn't you like it?
It's just that I was thinking to myself, why did I have to take Japanese? I mean, I'm already Japanese. But the parents would explain that you have to think of your own heritage and all that. So we learned the basics, but I did it grudgingly.
Oh, so you could read and write as well as speak?
We read and wrote a certain amount of it. Mm. And so I am kind of grateful that I did go to Japanese school, you know? In the same way, the Buddhist side, the Buddhist priest conducted a Japanese school. And the other side, mm. they had a Buddhist auditorium.
Oh.
And so both of us, both of the group, the Christians and the Buddhists, had a separate Japanese school.
Huh. What, but you spoke Japanese in the home all the time, or not?
At home, we spoke English among our peers, mm-hmm. among our own brothers and sisters. But to mother, naturally, we spoke Japanese.
And how about to your father, since he spoke such good English?
Yes. Well, we would talk to him in English mm-hmm. and also in Japanese. Mm-hmm. But mother was the one that kept tab of us, that we did our homework and mm-hmm. so forth.
Now, did she ever learn English herself?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, she was homely, very compassionate, always trying to better ourselves.
What was the relationship like between the people in the community who were Buddhists and who were Christians?
We mixed them very well. Mm-hmm. There were no animosity or competition.
Well, were there? What about the traditional holidays? How would those be celebrated?
Like in New Year's?
What, New Year's and Boys' Day and Girls' Day?
Yes, during the Girls' Day, they had a special day that all the girls wore kimonos. And they would dance in Japanese music and so forth. And all the island people would come out and watch. It was a big day for the girls. And as for the boys, we had sort of a athletic festival mm. that we used to run relays mm-hmm. and so forth. Mm. So that was about the mm. thing. But the New Year's was a big day, because in Japan, did they celebrate their New Year's as a key holiday. And we always look forward to the New Year's Day because day before the mother would make all these goodies.
The mochi?
Mochi. And they say chashu and all kinds of eating goods, because every year the fishermen will go from house to house giving greetings and New Year's. And then if there's any children in the house, they would over give them money.
Oh.
A couple of dollars and so forth. So we look forward to all the money that we would get. And then also the idea of the mochitsuki is another festivity where all the mothers in different blocks would get together, and the men would pound the rice to make it the mochi. And once it's pounded, it would be brought into the house, and all the mothers would spread it out and make these mochi in size. So make it all so that when all the mochi are done, well, each family would take their share with them.
Ah, but it was something that was celebrated in the individual houses rather than at a, like at the fisherman's hall or...
Yeah, that's right, it's individual home.
Oh.
Each individual home had their sushi and mm-hmm. all that when they came, and they would sit down and eat and have sake, mm-hmm. you know, drink, and then they would go on.
Mm. Would people come from L.A. to celebrate New Year's on Terminal Island with the Terminal Islanders?
No, it was strictly Terminal Islanders.
Oh. Do you remember other kinds of, were there other events or that were held for the community at Fisherman's Hall?
They would have motion picture Japanese movies.
Oh.
And all the Terminal Islanders would just flock into the Fisherman Hall to look at either the samurai or love stories. So that was a highlight for the Terminal Islanders.
Uh-huh. Was that something that was done regularly?
It was done, I would say, about six times a year.
Oh. Well, see, it's good you learned Japanese.
Yes.
You wouldn't have been able to understand the movie.
That's right.
Otherwise.
That's right.
Now, what was grade school like?
Grade school, let's see. One thing we always learned is that we were promoted from one grade to another. And then we had to take tests and so forth. And it was sort of a high retention time to do good. But it was enjoyable that we used to have relays and outdoor activities, as well as storytelling. And the teachers were all Caucasians, naturally. And they were very, as far as I could recall, very fine teachers.
Was it a one-room schoolhouse, or did you have separate grades?
Separate grades, different places.
And was Miss
Walliser,
was she still teaching, or was she...
No, she was a principal
then.
She
was the principal.
And she was the one that made it possible for us to have this extracurricular thing, like going out of the school, on the school bus, and that was the highlight for the students, to be going out of the island, because none of us had ever gone out, and then to go on the bus and the tour outside, and we were just a gag, you know, here, the real world is going.
And were you, in those situations too, were you viewed as curiosities?
Yes, very much so.
And did you spend much time in Little Tokyo?
Hardly.
Oh.
Only time we had go to Little Tokyo was when they had what they called the Nisei Week.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And we would make it a point. By then, many of us had cars to travel back to Little Tokyo. And we looked forward to it because we saw how the other people live, their parade, and for the boys especially, just meet new girls, you know, out and make friends. So it was sort of a highlight going out to Little Tokyo.
Well, what was the relationship between the Issei and Nisei on Terminal Island and those in L.A.? I've read things where the fishermen were looked down upon by the other Japanese.
What happened when the fishermen would come in and they get paid, they would all go to Little Tokyo and then they would drink and carouse around. So the reputation of the fishermen was not the highest.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever they talk about Terminal Islanders, they call them, the language they spoke was not the very elite Japanese fisherman's language, you know, very crude. So the first thing I recall when I was starting to date the girls in L.A., I would find out that when Yutaka is from Terminal Island, the parents didn't want their daughter to date.
Oh.
That's the first inkling I had that we were in bad repute.
And was it because of this language, or was it that the people were fishermen?
Because of the fishermen's behavior in the downtown area.
Uh-huh.
So they made quite a reputation on themselves.
Well, that reminds me, it is so often in so many of the Japanese communities throughout California, there was so much gambling. Was there a lot of gambling on Terminal Island?
There must have been, you know, being young, I wouldn't know that aspect of it, but I'm pretty sure there must have been gambling. But the big gambling was in Little Tokyo.
Uh-huh.
They would go there and spend all the money they had.
Now, who used these pool halls that were there on Terminal Island?
The fishermen.
The fishermen, yes. Or the young people?
The young people hardly ever, I can't recall. I mean, maybe the older fellows may have done it, but the fishermen, they had pool hall experience.
Now, Chuck Furutani, in his interview, said that there were several houses of prostitution on the island. Were you aware of those?
I wasn't aware of those.
Now, when you said that when you started dating girls from Los Angeles, mm-hmm. how did you meet them?
At churches.
Oh.
We would have intermingling churches.
Oh, I see.
Baptist Church would go to different places and meet the girls.
Ah, so this was a really a social avenue, too.
Yes, social avenue. We didn't want to date the Terminal Island girls.
Why not?
I don't know. I guess we knew each other too well.
Now, did you and the girl, when you were younger, did the boys and girls play together at all?
Hardly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Boys were strictly boys.
Now, So your first athletic activities were mainly around judo and walking on your hands.
Yes.
And then you began your other athletic activities when you went to junior high school in San Pedro?
In junior, not as much in junior high school as in high school. Junior high school, we had football teams,
mm-hmm.
you know, different teams. apart from that, I can't recall too much at the junior high school level.
Oh. Well, how did you get interested in weightlifting?
As I was growing up, in the comic strip, there was a comic called Harold Teens. And in that, it showed him getting the weightlifting thing and exercising until he got the physique of a V-shape. And when I saw that, I says, that's what I want to become, to get a barbell like he was doing. And so I started saving my money. And in York, Pennsylvania, they sold a 200-pound barbell advertised. And so when I finally got the amount that I needed, I sent for that 200 barbell. And I anxiously waited and waited until I got a notification from the station that there was a package, 200-pound package, and I knew exactly what it was. But then I was thinking, how am I going to get that 200-pound? I had no cars and so forth. And near my home was a laundry place where I knew the owner of that. So I said, and went to him, I said, Mr. Matsutsuyu, I have a problem. I have this package, 200-pound package, that I have to bring home. And I noticed you have a wagon there. I said, can I prevail upon you to help me? And he understood. He says, why, sure, I'll be more than happy to. So I leaped into his wagon and we went out. And sure enough, that 200-pound package was lying there, and both of us lifted into the wagon and brought it up to my home. Now, the problem was in my home, my older brother and I were living in this, in that room. And so I told Mom that I need to start exercising and I need an extra room. And so at the tail end of the room, there was a small area. She said, okay, then you could move your bed into this room. And this would be your room where you could exercise and so forth. And so we hauled the barbells into my room. I took off the wooden shash and all that thing, and I said, how am I going to do all this exercise? And then in the package there was a chart on how to curl and lift and knee bend and side bend in sequences. And so I pasted on that thing on the wall and I started doing my exercise. Then the word got around.
But you started with 200 pounds?
No.
Or you start with?
There was a 200-pound complete weight. Oh. And then there's dumbbells, uh-huh. Small weights. And I started naturally to start off, you do real light, you know, and it gradually go up as your strength gets going. Well, the news got out that I had the barbells and the boys started coming. And my room became the gymnasium. And to this day, I thank the Lord for my mother. She understood, you know, that I was more athletic inclined than scholastically inclined. Now, my older brother was the opposite. He was a book reader, and he got the high grades, all A's, you know, where I would get C's and D's because I wouldn't study. But anyway, the boys would come and exercise with me, because exercising alone is a very lonely kind of a deal. So the fellows all started working. And thank goodness, I could see the change that's coming into my shoulder got broader, and the waistline got trimmer. My legs became bulky. And this is where my high school football team came in good use. Because I was physically fit then. So that's how I got started in my physique kind of deal. But then there's the other side of the story. Miss Swanson can encourage all of us to go to church all the time. But there was a young seminarian by the name of Jitsuo Morikawa, who was a Canadian. And he was going to a theological seminary. And during the summertime, he came to preach and be the counselor for us. And I guess he must have been told that Yutaka had all these gangs, because before that, I don't know whether I mentioned that that Reverend Yamamoto, you know, he was the minister then. He came to me once and he said, Yutaka, he said, what are you going to do with your life? You know, are you going to carouse around and go on your dad's boat and make a lot of money? And is that all that is to life? And I couldn't say anything. Then he says, I noticed that when you walk the street up Turtle Island, there will be young boys following after you, because you're their hero, because I was a football star, and they want to be just like him. So I said, I'm not asking you to become a minister, but I think you would be good working with youth, either YMCA or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that kind of struck a chord, because I didn't have a dream about what I was going to do. I thought I was going to be like my older brother, go fishing, you know. And so that's how it got started.
Wow.
That my future plan.
Mm-hmm.
But Jitsu Morikawa heard about my influence with other boys. So I said, he must have thought, how can I attract Yutaka to become church conscious? And he ordered a brand new aluminum barbell, a beautiful barbell. And he had it in his manse. And he says, Yutaka, I want to train with you and your boys. I have this nice aluminum beautiful bar that I want to train with you. So I thought, wow, this is great. So we all would meet at the manse once or twice a week to exercise with him.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had to take my hat off to Jitsu, because he was a short, sort of a plump guy, and he had no idea how hard this exercise was. But to his credit, he joined us and trained with us. And by doing that, we were saying, hey, this guy is a regular guy. Yeah. And he invited us to come regularly to hear him preach, you know, and so forth. So we said, we will come. And it's through that process I became a Christian.
So up until then it was more social activities.
That's right.
And I see.
Not a worry about religion or anything.
Now,
but
when you said at the manse, what's the manse?
Manse is the church would provide a place for the minister to live.
Oh, okay.
It's a cottage-like, and we call that a manse.
Oh.
And that's where he had his thing here.
Oh. Now, were these other young, the boys who were working out with you, were you all the same age?
I think most of them were younger than I was.
Oh.
Maybe 1 or 2 years younger. Mm-hmm. But we all trained together.
Hmm. Now, and then how did you become involved in the football team?
Well, when I finally graduated from junior high school to high school, I was very much interested in gymnastics and football. So, and gymnastics was a natural thing because taking judo, it's coordination. So I excelled in gymnastics in the high bars and tumbling.
Mm-hmm.
And they chose me captain of the gymnastic team, St. Peter High, when we also won the championship on that league. And then the football was my first love because I used to play in junior high school, and when I started working out, the coach noticed my agility, and so he made me a fullback and says, I have a plan of quickness of opening up and then you're jamming through. And so that's where I first started utilizing my skill to do what I can, because there was a halfback and then myself that had to do all the running and then to block. When you see a person coming at you, you're kind of blocking, see? So I became quite adept at blocking the opponent. So in that way, they chose me as a co-captain with Roy Prong.